to turn to the book of Ephesians. We'll be in chapter 5. The major theme of the book of Ephesians is God's work for us and in us. And that is covered in chapters 1 through 3. And then our response to God's work for us and in us is covered in chapters 4 through 6. So the two main divisions of the book are the position and wealth of the child of God in the first three chapters, and then the corresponding walk or life of the child of God in the last three chapters. Basically, what the book tells us is that God's people are unique people, and they are to live as a unique people. In the first division of the book, chapters 1 through 3, Paul speaks of how the saved individual has been blessed with heavenly blessings. All of this, according to Ephesians 1, verse 6, verse 12, and verse 14, is to the praise of his glory. In chapter 2, he speaks of the great change that has taken place in the saved individual, and that all that is due to the grace of the Lord. He continues in chapter 3 to mention some more blessings of salvation. And then in verses 14 through 21 of chapter 3, he prays for the saints there, and everything goes back to verse 16 to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. Again, there's the reminder that we are a unique people, and we are to live our lives correspondent to the blessings of the Lord. Which brings us to our text in Ephesians 5, verse 18, very familiar verse, a verse that we've preached from many times. In Ephesians 5, verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I want to speak of life in the Spirit. In this verse, there are two separate and yet connected statements. Be not drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit. The first, of course, is a very clear prohibition. He is forbidding being drunk with wine or anything else as far as that goes. The other statement is a positive command, be filled with the Spirit. Again, both of these statements are not suggestions. They are commands, one from the negative, one from the positive. That is, they are authoritative. In between the two statements, the prohibition, the command to the positive, is the word but, which of course reveals a contrast. From this, from the word but, between these two statements, we see that Paul is not merely dealing with the issue of drunkenness, though he does deal with it in this verse. But I do not believe that that is his sole object because of the next statement he makes. Be not drunk with wine is not the thrust. It is not the main message of the verse, though it is included in the verse. The prohibition, be not drunk with wine, is literal. It means exactly what it says. But I believe it illustrates the old life, our former manner of living. Be not drunk with wine was characteristic of a life which these Ephesians lived before salvation. Now again, between the two statements, we have B. Be not drunk with wine, or but be filled with the Spirit. There's a contrast. A contrast is being drawn. The life that a child of God is to live is to be different from how they used to live. There is to be a stark contrast to the former manner of living. The manner in which a child of God is to live is the opposite of how he or she used to live, which is described in these words, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Now, the child of God has been rescued from that life. We have been delivered from that life, and that is to be manifest. It is to be manifest in the fact that we are to be filled. Rather than being filled with wine, we are to be filled with the Spirit. Now, this statement, be filled with the Spirit, I believe is the key to living the life that is described in chapter 4 through chapter 6. It is absolutely crucial to living to the praise of His glory. We see three times in Ephesians 1, again, Ephesians 1, verse 6, verse 12, and verse 14. That everything is to the praise of His glory. That is how we're to live. How do we do that? Be filled with the Spirit. It is absolutely essential to living the life that is described in these last three chapters. It is the answer. It is the answer of how the new life is to be lived. It is how we reach usefulness to God by being filled with the Spirit. Now we want to say to be filled with the Spirit is not merely a one-time event. Being indwelt with the Spirit, which took place at salvation, is a one-time event. But we are never commanded to be indwelt with the Spirit. That's already taken place. We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. And this is not, again, a one-time event. It is not merely a religious experience. It is an ongoing relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is really the person of Christ in us. The Holy Spirit represents Jesus Christ. So the statement, be filled with the Spirit, again, it's present tense, it's continual, it's ongoing, it's perpetual. In other words, what he's saying here is let it be your constant condition. Be filled with the Spirit. In other words, this is to be the norm for the child of God. Could you imagine if this were the normal thing in churches, if this was the normal thing that God's people be filled with the Spirit, that was the norm? How wonderful. And since this is to be ongoing, this is what he's saying. This is to be your normal life. To be filled with the Spirit. This is not something that is to take place every now and then. This is to be the norm. And this is our empowerment to live this life. This is why, again, we've said so many times, people, they want to live close to God, talking about God's people. They want to do what's right, and they strive, but they don't have the power to do so. And after a while, you'll get worn out. And that gets discouraging. Here's the key. Be filled with the Spirit. It is the exact reverse of drunk with wine. So with these two contrasting statements, I believe Paul draws a picture of the Christian life. He draws a picture of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Again, we take these two statements. Be not drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. In between those statements is a contrasting word. So those two statements, you take them together, and I believe you have a picture of what our life ought to be. First of all, it is a controlled and ordered life. A person that is drunk with wine or beer or any other alcohol or any other drug is under the influence, is under the effect, is under the sway of something outside of themselves. They are, the person who is drunk or high is under the influence, the effect, the sway of a destructive power. Their life is controlled by a destructive power. Those who are drunk with wine, their walk is affected. Their speech is affected. Their vision is affected. Their minds are affected. Their judgment is affected. Their understanding is affected. Everything about them comes under the influence and the effect and the sway, in this case, of alcohol. And the result is confusion and disarray. This is a picture of the old life. We were under the control of a destructive power. Our speech, our vision, our thinking, our walking, everything about us was under the influence of a destructive power. Now what he says here is that we are not to be drunk with wine. We are not to be soaked with wine, but we are to be filled with the Spirit. And notice it is not a filling with what, but it is a filling with whom. Be filled with the Spirit. What that means is that this is a call to be saturated with the Holy Spirit, which is a call to be saturated with God. And that's to be the norm. That's to be the norm of our life, to be saturated with God. We are to be continually filled with the Spirit. That is, continually, it is to be our norm that we are under the power, the influence, the effect, the sway of the Holy Spirit. That is how we're to live. Everything about our life is to be under the influence of the Spirit of God, or by God Himself. It is to be moved along by the Holy Spirit. No longer living life under the control of a destructive power. No longer under the control of our own energy. No longer under the control of our own ideas. But living our lives under the influence of the Spirit of God. That is how we're to live. That is how we manifest that a change has taken place. So this new life is a controlled life. It is under the control of the Spirit. Secondly, it is a productive life. Be not drunk with wine. Following that are the words wherein, which would refer directly back to wine, by the way, wherein, but it can also refer back to the whole statement, drunk with wine. Wherein is excess. Now, almost everybody takes that word, that phrase, wherein is excess, and makes those words refer to the amount of wine that has been consumed. And I believe that's a wrong reading. I believe that's a wrong interpretation. Wherein, which simply means in which, referring back to wine, referring back to drunkenness. Wherein is, that's present tense, wherein is excess. Now, I don't think that's referring to the amount consumed. All of those who try to defend a child of God drinking alcohol, they'll say, oh, as long as it's not in excess, and they turn to that verse. That's not what that's saying. That's not what it's saying at all. But it's referring to the result. It's referring to the result of wine. It's referring to the result of being drunk with wine. Excess. So being drunk with wine leads to not success, but excess. Well, what does that mean? Well, that word excess is the very same word translated riotous in the so-called parable of the prodigal son. The word excess speaks of that which is reckless, that which is wasteful, that which is destructive. In other words, be not drunk with wine, because wherein, being drunk with wine, leads to a reckless life, a wasteful life, a destructive life. That's the result. That's the result. So that is, again, this first phrase is descriptive of our old life. The old life is a life, is like a life of drunkenness, which leads to the life of the prodigal son. Wherein is excess? Wherein is waste? The prodigal son threw away his time. He threw away his energy. He threw away his blessings. He threw away his chastity. He threw it all away. He traded the blessings of the father for waste. And that's what it is to be drunk. You trade it all away. You trade away. You waste your time. You waste your energy. You waste the blessings. And you lose your chastity. Be not drunk with wine. Be not under the control of this destructive power. On the other hand, but be filled with the Spirit. That's what we're called to do. That is, it's the exact opposite of wherein is excess. In wine, in drunkenness, is waste. But contrast that, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You get drunk with wine, you will throw away your life. Or at least a portion of it. You throw it away. You say, I only got drunk one time, one day. You threw away one day. You threw it away. And you add days in the weeks and weeks in the months, there's an awful lot of waste. But on the other hand, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit of God will never cause you to throw away your life. Never. To be filled with the Spirit of God, you will not throw away your time. You will not throw away your energy. You will not throw away your blessings. You will not throw away your chastity. To be filled with the Spirit of God is not a wasteful life. To be filled with the Spirit of God will never lead to you ruining your life. It'll never lead you to a life of destruction. People say, what are you going to do? Throw away your life with that religion? If it's real, you're not throwing it away. Being filled with the Spirit, unlike being drunk with wine, is always productive. Always productive. Be not drunk with wine. And though that is a literal prohibition, I believe wholeheartedly that the Bible condemns very strongly the use of alcohol. That's not our message tonight, but it's all through the Word of God. Everywhere. Especially the book of Proverbs. But I believe here it's being used also, not only is it a literal prohibition, but it's also descriptive of the old life, which was an impoverishing life. Being filled with Spirit will not lead to a life of regret. Never. You'll never see an individual on their deathbed regretting serving God. You'll never see someone on their deathbed, oh, I wish I wouldn't have been filled with the Spirit. It's not going to happen. Being filled with the Spirit will not lead to a life of regret. Coming under the influence of a destructive power will, if you've got any sense. We the saved, it is to be the norm for our lives to be under the power, the influence, the effect, the sway of the Holy Spirit. And the result is not excess or waste. The result is spiritual wealth. So it is a controlled life that we are to live. It is a productive life. Thirdly, it is a stimulating life. In pharmacology, alcohol is classified as a depressant, not as a stimulus. Yet people will say all the time, I drink because it stimulates me. No, it doesn't. You're a fool. You are under a depressant and you are so foolish that you believe that you're being stimulated. It is not a stimulant. It is a depressant. It is always categorized as a depressant to the central nervous system, which is the processing center of the body, and is responsible, the central nervous system, is responsible for sending, receiving, and interpreting information from all parts of the body. And alcohol is a depressant to the central nervous system. Now, the world, of course, has been deceived into believing that alcohol is a stimulus, but it's not. And many professing believers have been deceived into believing that the old life is a stimulus It's not. It's a depressant. Make no mistake about it. The old life, the life of the flesh, is always a depressant to the spiritual processing center. It does not, flesh does not stimulate our spiritual processing center. Flesh is a depressant to the receiving and the interpreting of spiritual information. That is why many times people get absolutely nothing out of the preaching of God's word, because their whole spiritual processing system is under a depressant. They're not capable of receiving. They're not capable of receiving and interpreting correctly spiritual information. So like our central nervous system, when under the influence of a depressant, the body is hindered. And when our spiritual processing center has been brought under the influence of the old life, our whole life has been affected. Everything about us has been affected. But we're not to be under a depressant. We're to be filled with the Spirit, which is stimulating to the spiritual, which is exhilarating and thrilling to the spiritual. And again, this is to be the norm for the child of God. To be filled with the Spirit is a stimulant. It will not exhaust you spiritually. It may exhaust you physically, but it will not exhaust you spiritually. But rather, it'll put power into your spiritual processing center. On the other hand, drunkenness and everything that it represents here exhausts. You live your life under the power and under the influence of the flesh, and you will become spiritually exhausted. You will become spiritually drained. Why? It's a depressant. But if you live your spiritual life filled with the Spirit of God, your spirit, the spirituality that's in you, will be thriving. You'll be exhilarated spiritually. So to be filled with the Spirit means that the Holy Spirit is active within us. It's producing and stimulating that which is in conformity to His Word and His person. So if your spiritual processing center is exhausted, we can measure where we are spiritually. Are we spiritually exhausted? Now, there's a difference between being physically exhausted and spiritually exhausted. We do not become spiritually exhausted when we're filled with the Spirit. Paul said, the outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. That is, it just keeps getting stronger and stronger because it's under a stimulant. But if we live after the flesh, we're unable to receive and we're unable to interpret, just like the drunk. His spiritual nervous system is unable to receive and interpret signals from the body. The child of God that lives under the flesh is now unable to receive and interpret spiritual information. What's the remedy? Be filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not exhaust us, stimulates us. Fourthly, it is a happy life. The poor, worldly individual turns to drink because he or she is happy, because he or she is miserable. So they turn to drink. They sit around, they think about their life, And the more they think about their life, the more unhappy they become. And they turn to drink because they're trying to find happiness. But it's a depressant. So they turned to what they think will bring them happiness, and all it does is bring them more unhappiness and more misery. They want to be happy. They're seeking joy, but they put themselves under the influence and control of that which brings misery. God's people are the same way. They want to be happy. They want joy, but they put themselves under the influence of the flesh, the very thing that makes them miserable, just like the drunkard. And it's sad. It's sad to see someone who is so miserable, and they turn to drink, and they just get more and more and more miserable. That's a terrible waste of a life. But is it not a waste of a spiritual life when in search for happiness we indulge the flesh? It's just like being drunk. You're under the influence, you're under the control of a depressant. Again, as we've said many times, happiness is not a pursuit. That's a mistake, the first mistake they make. Happiness is not a pursuit. Happiness is a result. All through the Bible, happiness is a result. Happiness is a result of living your life right. Happiness is a result of being filled with the Spirit of God. Just like misery. Misery isn't a pursuit. Misery is a result. So if you're miserable, it's a result of something. And we need to always keep that in mind. So, when an individual turns to drink or drugs, their misery only worsens. When a child of God begins to think about their life, and then they sit under the juniper tree for a while and realize, man, I'm miserable, and I'm just not going to go to church tonight, and I'm going to just stay home and watch television, or I'm going to go out with some other people, and that's what the drunk does. All in the name of, I'm trying to find happiness. And your misery only worsens. You want joy, and I believe everybody does. I don't believe, unless you're totally crazy, that I don't believe there's anybody who wants to be miserable. You might think they do because of the way they live their lives. But if you want joy, be filled with the Spirit. This life, Ephesians 4 through 6, is a happy life. It is a joyful life. It is a stimulating life. It is a productive life. And it is a controlled life under the control of the Holy Spirit. So again, our text draws a contrast between two ways of living. As a child of God, our lives are not to be controlled, not to be influenced, not to be brought under the effect of flesh. Whether it be our own flesh or anyone else's flesh. That is a depressant. It is a depressant. And it will exhaust you spiritually. And it will cause you to waste your time, your energy. It'll cause you to throw away the blessings of God. The flesh. Flesh is like a powerful drug. It's like a powerful drug that only worsens our condition. But instead of that, we are to be filled with the Spirit. That is, our lives are to be saturated with God. God is to be all over us. You get around a drunk, I'm not telling you to do that, but you get around a drunk, and they even smell of alcohol. They're saturated with it. It's all over them. You don't even have to get very close. It's all over them. That's how it is to be with us, with God. God is to be all over us, where people can see it from a distance. And again, this is to be the norm. We're to be saturated. So much so, he goes on in Ephesians chapter 5 and into chapter 6. We're to be so saturated, so filled with the Spirit of God that it flows into every aspect of our lives. It flows into our homes. In fact, after he mentions being filled with the Spirit, he then very shortly after goes into the home. This is the key. You want a happy home? Then don't get addicted to a depressant. Your flesh is a depressant. And it'll bring misery in your home. Husbands and wives that are living in the flesh, you're going to have a miserable life, a miserable existence. Just like that drunk. Oh, you're searching for happiness, and you may even go to a counselor. But as long as you are living in the flesh, you're under the influence of a depressant. And oh, how sad. And oh, what you throw away. What you throw away. What you waste. So we're to be so saturated that it flows into our marriages, that it flows into our home. And then you get into Ephesians chapter 6, it also flows into the workplace. And Ephesians 6 breaks it down. It doesn't matter whether you are an employer or an employee. Be ye filled with the Spirit so that it flows into your home, so that it flows into the workplace. It's to have an effect upon our entire life. Be filled with the Spirit. How do I do that? I have a responsibility. You have a responsibility. Talking about the saved. To be filled with the Spirit. We're not the filler. We need to realize that. We're not the filler. We're the vessel. But we do have a responsibility. Since I'm not the filler, I must continually surrender my will, my mind, my body, my time, my gifts, my plans, my purposes, in every area of my life to the control of the filler. You get filled with the Spirit by surrendering, by relinquishing control. I've talked to a lot of husbands and wives through the years, and you know one of the biggest problems, well, the biggest problem is they live in the flesh, but one of the biggest problems is neither one are willing to relinquish what's destroying them. I've got news for you. There's no hope for you. As long as you have that attitude, nothing's going to work. You might as well just plan on it. You are in for a life of misery. Well, I'll divorce this one, marry another one. You'll carry the same habits into that one. And here we go again. That's a different subject. How do I surrender? How do we do that? By being filled with the Spirit. If I am filled with the Spirit, I will surrender. And the more I surrender, the more I'll be filled. So you see, it's just a continual thing. I can get up tomorrow morning, get up and live in the flesh and try and try and try to be filled with the Spirit. It will not work. And I can try and try and try to surrender. It will not work. I can only surrender as I'm filled. And the more I surrender, the more I'm filled. And the more I'm filled, the more power I have. And the more I'm filled, the more happy that I become. So, if I'm going to be filled with the Spirit, one thing for sure, we cannot quench, we cannot suppress the Holy Spirit. The Bible, Ephesians says, quench not the Holy Spirit of God. Some people will say, well, I don't believe the Holy Spirit can be quenched. Then why did Paul write that? Quench not the Holy Spirit of God. That is, the Spirit of God moves you to do something, and you put it off. That's quenching the Spirit. The Spirit of God speaks to you, and you choose to put it off, or to ignore it, or whatever. That's quenching the Spirit. To come into the house of God under the influence of the flesh is quenching the Spirit. Now, I have in the past, a couple times here, other places as well, talked to drunks after church services. Do I believe that a person, while they're drunk, can be saved? Yes, I do. But I believe most drunks you talk to, by the time they get sober, they won't remember talking to you. There are a lot of drunks that make professions of salvation but don't amount to a thing. Do I believe that the Spirit of God can come upon a drunk and save him? Yes, I do. Just like a child of God can come in a church service and they can just be saturated with the flesh, and for the most part, I might as well talk to that wall. Just like talking to the drunk. They're not going to remember a thing 5 minutes after the service. But I've also seen that same individual come in saturated in flesh and the Spirit of God get a hold of them and bless them. So yes, it can happen. But it's going to take the Spirit of God. To be filled with the Spirit is for all the doors of my life be opened to His absolute control. My heart, that's where it begins. My home, my marriage, my family, job, finances, on and on you can go. Everything must be opened to His absolute control. Everything must come under the influence of His power. Be filled with the Spirit. Be permeated with the Spirit of God. Be saturated, be soaked with the Spirit of God. That God would just be all over us. And that would be the norm. That would be the norm. It would be great if that was the norm, and being in the flesh was very abnormal. That ought to be what we strive for. We're all going to get in the flesh. We know that. We're all going to have moments where we go to the flesh. And may I say, 1 second in the flesh can ruin your life, can ruin your testimony. 1 second. It's very dangerous to get in flesh. Very dangerous. But we need to be permeated with the Spirit. That needs to be the norm. And all for it to be so unusual for us to get in the flesh, that it would be very unusual for you and I, for a church, that it would be very unusual to see a church member walk in those doors under the influence of the flesh. That would be just so odd. Oh, that'd be wonderful. And it's just the normal thing to walk into the house of God filled with the Spirit of God. For it to be the normal thing for husbands and wives to be filled with the Spirit of God. That when the man comes home or the woman comes home, the normal thing is he walks in the door and he's Spirit filled. Rather than filled with the flesh, rather than being under the influence of the flesh. In order to be under the influence of the Spirit, we must put ourselves in an environment that would enhance that. That would enable us to be filled with the Spirit. You feed the flesh, guess what? The flesh is going to get strong. Again, it's like the old individual said, that it's like two dogs fighting inside of me. Which one wins? It depends on the one you feed the most. That's true. Depends on the one you're feeding at this very moment. Don't feed the flesh. We must not feed the flesh, especially in this day in which we live. Everything is geared toward our flesh. And we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And just like the foundation that Brother Kevin was talking about this morning, that is our foundation. Being filled with the Spirit. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it if you're not filled with the Spirit of God. You're not going to stand. Oh, you may think you will, and you can convince yourself all you want to that when it comes right down to it, I'll lay down my life. No, you won't. You can't even give up a couple of things now. How in the world are you going to lay down your life? You have to have this foundation. It's good to look around and see people that are filled with the Spirit of God. We all get in a bad mood. We all have our moments. That's not what I'm talking about. But it ought to be our norm. And that ought to be our prayer. God, make it normal for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Make that the norm of my life. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse 7.